All right, this is waiting for it to be 9:50 officially, but all right, I assume people are probably still gnawing. All right, it will be there in just a second. But this is Yisachar at 9:50. Hello, everybody. It is Yisachar Wartell, and this week's Parsha is Parshat Akev. There is so much to talk about in this week's Parsha, but I will talk about one thing pretty much, even though there's so many other things that have my mind. But hope you're all doing well. Again, just as ongoing, wanted to wish Refuah Shleima to everybody out there who needs it, who, have some friends. I'm sure everybody needs it. And also, of course, as usual, sponsored Refuah Shleima for Zev and Leah, Dr. Zelenko. Obviously, as much as we appreciate sponsorships, we hope that he gets better and we will be able to have a sponsorship for a simcha of some Suda Suda or something like that, rather than Refuah Shleima. Obviously, you know, we're always happy to pray for people to get better, but it's a real simcha when our tefillos are answered and they do get better and are, you know, better than ever. Anyway, in this week's Parsha, Moshe, after speaking of the sin of the golden calf, goes on to speak of Aaron's death, which is an event that occurred 38 years later. So Pasuk, Perakyot Pasuk Vav states, Uvnei Yisrael Nasu, Meber Opnei Akan, Mosra, Sham, Meit Aaron Ve'Gvar Sham, and Bnei Yisrael traveled from the walls of Bnei Akan to Mosera, and there died Aaron, and he was buried there. Rashi highlights several questions on this Pasuk. First of all, in Parshas Maaseh, it states that they actually went from Mosera, there was called Mosrot, to Bnei Akan, but not the other way around. So it's a little bit confusing. Secondly, Rashi asks, we know that Aaron died and was buried on Hor HaHar, so why does it say that these happened in Mosera, which is seemingly not Hor HaHar? Right, so Rashi explains, based on the Talmud Yerushalmi and Yoma, that upon Aaron's death, the Anane HaKavod, the clouds of glory, disappeared from the camp, and people got scared of an attack by the Canaanite king of Arad. Therefore, a group of them began to head back to Mitzrayim the way they traveled, and therefore they, in fact, traveled from Hor HaHar to Bnei Ya'akan, and ultimately to Mosera. Maybe some people call it Mosera. I don't know. I call it Mosera. And it was in Mosera that the tribe of Levi met up with them and killed them for rebelling against Hashem and betraying the rest of Bnei Israel. Though this tragedy compounded, unfortunately, Aaron's death, and this is when Bnei Israel truly felt the great loss even more than before, and that's why, in a certain sense, it was as if Aaron had actually died there. Now, Rashi continues that the mentioning of Aaron's death follows the mentioning of the golden calf, Chet Egel, for two reasons. One, Aaron's death in the Midbar, specifically not going into the land of Israel, the land of Canaan, was specifically due to his sin of forming the golden calf, which Moses strongly blamed the people for goading him into that situation. Now, that gets into a whole separate conversation as to why Aaron's also ascribed the Avera of hitting the rock, and that's a whole separate discussion. But it does seem like the primary cause, or the main impetus for Aaron not entering the land of Israel and dying in the Midbar was because of the Chet Egel. And this was largely due to the insistence of parts of Klal Yisrael, especially the Erev Rav, that led to this unfortunate circumstance. Now, it was not bad enough that they prematurely, in a sense, caused Aaron's death, but they took the time that should have been devoted to mourning him, and instead fled in cowardice, which ultimately led to the death of more lives. So instead of spending their time reflecting on what they might have done and what Aaron did or did not do, they instead went to, you know, these places, Bnei Akan and Mosera, and ultimately that led to more casualties and therefore more sorrow. Now, upon seeing the sins of the golden calf, Moshe had initially broken the first luchot, the first set of tablets, and that comes to teach us that the death of a tzaddik is as painful to Hashem as the breaking of the luchot, which Hashem himself made. So that's another explanation that Rashi gives as to the connection between the Chet Egel and Aaron's death, because just as that caused the destruction of the luchot themselves, which were, you know, Be'etzba Elokim, right, which were made directly from God, whatever exactly that means, then that loss was so, what they lost in the Chet Egel is, according to some opinions, still affecting us to this day, right? So when the death of somebody as great as Aaron occurs, that also shakes us on such a level. Now the Ramban, after quoting Rashi in his entirety, goes on to mention the words of Ibn Ezra, who gives, in fact, the simpler answer. The wells of Bnei Akan, the Beirut of Bnei Akan, were not the same place as actually Bnei Akan, but rather they were located in Kadesh, where the sin of the spies happened. And Moshe Ra is actually not the same as Moshe Ra, but rather does in fact refer to Hor HaHar, where Aaron actually died and was buried. He reasons that these places could not be what they seemingly indicate, since the Torah lists contradictory evidence earlier, and they also cannot be new places, since all the places Bnei Israel have traveled should have been mentioned in Parshat Maaseh. So thus, we must have to have a reason to explain the alternate names. So, the Kli Yatkar explains that the wells of Bnei Akan were wells that were specifically used by the people of Bnei Akan for the water. Okay, that seems pretty straightforward. So even though it wasn't in Bnei Akan, it was the wells that the people of Bnei Akan used for the water, so it was basically adjacent to Bnei Akan. It's close proximity to both Bnei Akan and Hor HaHar, so more or less kind of in between both places. Okay, pretty straightforward answer. Now, Bnei Israel quickly went to camp by these wells following Aaron's death, because maybe they feared that, you know, well, when Miriam died, you know, maybe they weren't so clear that, but when Miriam Nevi'ah died, that they lost their well of water, and maybe they'd be tested, and maybe not only would they lose the clouds of glory, but they would also lose their well of water. So maybe it would stop just as it had upon Miriam's death, and they wanted to make sure they had water readily available. And therefore, these wells of Bnei Akan were directly, in fact, correlated to Aaron's death, and thus, according to the Kli Yatkar, it makes sense why they're mentioned. Now, Moshe Ra is where they went following this, and there they had no wells, and therefore were very afraid about the prospect of not having water, and therefore began to truly mourn over Aaron's death as if he had died right there, because they no longer had water in front of them, and they were still concerned that this might be a problem. So the Ramban suggests that the wells of Bnei Akan are, in fact, the same general area as Bnei Akan, and Moshe Ra is Moshe Ra, so this is different than what Ibn Ezra says, but that both of these areas were, in fact, near Hor HaHar and were located on a plain, so that when Moshe took Aaron up to Hor HaHar, these were among the main areas that they could see from the viewpoint. Okay, another pretty straightforward but intriguing answer at the same time. I actually had seen another answer, and I greatly apologize that I don't recall where I saw it, as I do like to, as appropriately so, cite a reference where I got it. I don't remember who I heard it from. But I heard that although Aaron died on Hor HaHar, Bnei Israel failed to mourn him right away, and it was only once they returned to Bnei Akan that it was Be'er, clear that Aaron was gone, and they felt the full effect of his loss. So again, Be'er, and there's a lot to be, built upon just this connection itself. But the word Be'er doesn't just mean well, like a well of water. It also means to make clear, leva'er, right? To elucidate, to make clear, right? So this Be'er that we're talking about is not necessarily an actual well, but it was an elucidation, a clarity. It took a little while for it to really sink in to Bnei Israel that Aaron was really gone. And this took place in Bnei Akan. So it was the Be'er, the realization, this clarity in Bnei Akan, where they really, really felt the loss of Aaron. And therefore, they had no choice but to stop. They had to stop in this adjacent area, right? So they felt it in Bnei Akan. They tried to push on a little bit more. They made it to Masera, and they just had to stop, and they had to mourn Aaron. Aaron HaKohen. It just, you know, it was too much for them. They really felt it, and, you know, that was important. But Moshe chastised them for not mourning Aaron when they should have. Like, on the level that Aaron was and everything that he had done for them and given to them, they should have felt it a little earlier. Shouldn't have waited. I don't know how long this was, a few weeks or, a month or however long it was. But, like, you know what I mean? We don't realize people's losses right away. But when somebody is that vivid and impactful in your life as Aaron, it should be a matter of a couple of days, not however much longer it was. And then you have to travel to a couple of different places in order to truly feel it. So, again, not blaming them, but, again, on the level that Bnei Israel was on and on the level that Aaron HaKohen was on, Moshe felt fit to chastise them for this matter. And then there's one other possibility, which is kind of my own idea. Bnei Akan Moshe Ra, which means Bnei Akan towards Moshe Ra, are equal to Bereyecha Loreyehu, from one fellow to another, or from your fellow to his fellow. Arlen was known for his role as a peacemaker, and he was able to see into the depths, or in this case, wells, if you will, of two quarreling peoples in order to pacify their relationship. This phrase of Manea Kamosera is also interestingly equal to one of the most famous gematria, which is Bnei Yisrael, right? So that's 541 plus 62, which is 603, and that's a whole thing, which then 603 plus 10 is 613. Not getting into that right now, but anyway, it is an interesting one, right? So Bnei Yakan Mosera is, in fact, numerically equivalent to Bnei Yisrael, for it is a job incumbent upon all of us to emulate our own, right? Every single one of us has to be in some respect, seek shalom or at least some sort of MS and strive to reach greatness, at least with one another, right? Now, yes, obviously sometimes we can't always be peace-seeking because sometimes we have to fight for what's right. But between us and our fellow man, that's a different story. Between us and our fellow man, we always have to seek peace. We always have to seek to smooth things over, whether it's involving tshuva or other sorts of rectifications, right? We have to seek to strive and make osa shalom with one another and not fight over especially things that might be trivial or, you know, even though they may be hurtful, ultimately are sometimes inconsequential. So keep that in mind, especially as we're, you know, moving back up from Tisha B'Av. We went through Tu B'Av, which was beautiful. We're in this really nice time of blessing right now, and then we're heading into the time of Elul, which is a time of introspection. So wishing everybody Shabbat Shalom, and talk to you next week.